Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson back again here on the Radio Zine. And here with me is Paige Knight of Hanford Watch. And Hanford Watch is inviting you to Scoping for Hanford's Biggest Environmental Impact Statement. This week, tomorrow night, in fact, workshops at 6 p.m., the meeting from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel Convention Center, 1021 Northeast Grand Avenue in Portland. And we'll talk more about the specifics of that event and others as we go along in this discussion. Let me welcome Paige Knight to KABU.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And I know you've had lots of responsibilities, and now you're back to be able to devote more time to Hanford, and we're glad to have you.
Yep, I'm glad to be back.
Can you talk about why you want to talk about Hanford with respect to this meeting? What is important about it, and why we're here at this point now?
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, we have not had any big public meetings for 3 years. And actually, the last two public meetings we had before this long dry spell were where thousands of people came out between Seattle, Tri-Cities, Hood River, and Portland to testify on the proposed solid waste environmental impact statement. We had at least 300 people here in Portland, and two hearings, in fact, within 2 weeks of each other, because one place closed down at 10, and we still had tons of people who hadn't gotten to testify and say what they wanted. And so we had about 60 turnout at the second meeting. And after that, the Department of Energy went back to, put together the final impact statement. What we were commenting on at that time was the draft solid waste impact statement. And one of the things that came out was that the regulators, both the Environmental Protection Agency and the Washington Department of Ecology, along with hundreds of citizens, were saying the data in this document that you're wanting us to base decisions on for the rest of our lives is flawed. And it certainly was. In fact, the DOE, the Department of Energy, with some new people at the head of it in the last few months, has said to Department of Energy Richland, you go back and you redo this and you listen to the people and you include the things that they want in it. And then they also came out with a scathing review of the data collection and Battelle Northwest had done, the Pacific Northwest Laboratories. It's one of the labs up there. And that sort of made me glad. In fact, I was sitting reading this report about how bad their data collection was on the plane on my way back from Hanford recently, and some man sitting next to me said, what do you think about this report? Do you work for DOE? And I said, no, I don't work for DOE, and I think that this is a great report. And he said, why is that? And I went on and talked about some of my distrust for Battelle Lab. And, and pointed out things in the report that I was really, really glad that they were saying. Well, this turned out to be the president of Battelle sitting next to me. And he said he was really sorry I felt that way. And I said, well, I hope that it's a wake-up call for you get your house in order. I think your house isn't in order. So it was really sort of an interesting thing. And it gave me, certainly a smile, but it really was... I just feel like the public spoke and the public was able to see the flaws in this document. And because of that, we get a new document. So that's a victory in one way. What this meeting is about is a scoping for the next environmental impact statement that will replace the solid waste environmental impact statement as it comes together. So they're going to use pieces of that particular document, the old one, until we get this one put together, and they're on a pretty fast track for it. So when we go, when people come out to this meeting, and I really hope people come out, this is a meeting where you get to say, this is what we want in this document. This is what we want you to cover. This is how we want you to cover it. Mm-hmm. So I will have a fact sheet out, probably a couple of them. Some of the things that are on the one that I passed out at the march on Saturday or Sunday are that we need to make sure that we are getting good data collection on all of the waste that is at Hanford, all of it. we need to know what it is. And that means they're going to have to do some digging and, you know, and some real analysis and some verifiable and truthful analysis of all of those wastes. We want to know what's hit the groundwater. We want to know what's hit the Vados zone. We want to know, you know, all of the waste sites that are buried. We want to know about the vitrification program and the plans they have to bring on supplemental treatment. We want them to look at a whole variety of options there that haven't been in the book so far.
And was that the problem with the data that you talked to the president of Patel about? Was it that it was incomplete, or was it just bad research?
It was bad modeling. You know, the modeling, computer modeling of data is garbage in, garbage out. So the flaws were really delineated and by the group that Department of Energy hired to look at the whole modeling scenario, and they found, just going through, you know, spot checking the whole document, they found innumerable flaws. And that indicated to them that, you know, if they were to go through bit by bit, they were going to find more. So one of the things that I've said in my trips up to Hanford is I would like somebody else to be doing the modeling, and I think that's what's going to be happening. If it isn't, I certainly will be leading the charge to say no, not accepting any modeling from Battelle right now. They've sort of shot their wad on this one. And I don't think this has been a first. I've never been too impressed, although I know that they have good people there, and I know they do some good work, but I have not had good encounters with people in terms of where I come from on Hanford.
So can you lay out some more about what the things are that you want to be part of this report?
I feel that we have to have in this document, the document that comes out, a total inventory, and I mean total inventory of all the wastes at Hanford. We've got so many burial sites. You hear about waste along the river. You hear about the K basins. You hear about the 177 tanks with 53 million gallons of waste. But we want the plumes analyzed. We want the Vados zone above the plumes analyzed. We want things analyzed all the way down to the river, because in the last 5 years, when Bush came into power in this administration, we had a meeting. I still remember this meeting vividly, where they came up with this new document that sort of laid out their plan on how they were going to accelerate cleanup of Hanford. And one of the sticking points in this plan was that they considered that the groundwater was irretrievably and irreversibly damaged, weren't going to do anything about it. So you're looking at a mindset where, oh, this is already damaged, can't clean it up. And then they also were looking at what is called the point of compliance, where they were going to go out just outside the tank farms, for example, as a maybe, and they were just going to count the contamination there. They weren't going to go all the way down to the Columbia River. I'm sorry, but that doesn't pack it. That Columbia River is our lifeblood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I want in. I want to see one of the things that's being talked about, and actually the Oregon Hanford Cleanup Board, that's the state of Oregon governor-appointed board, has just done had a bunch of meetings on capping. One of the things that the Department of Energy has been suggesting, and actually have a huge document out on it, is capping most of the waste sites.
You know, what does capping mean?
Capping means putting a cap over it and walk away. You can look at that as layers of gravel. You can look at it as some kind of a, you know, barriers to keep rain from percolating down too fast to drive the contaminants, you know, further into the Vados zone and groundwater. And one of the wonderful analogies that Ken Niles from the Oregon Department of Energy made at one of our meetings, he had sort of done the math on it in terms of how much land would be capped according to the documents that we saw. And it would cover all of Waterfront Park and New York, the New York City Park, you know, the big one?
Central Park,
New York. And it was just a huge, huge amount of land. Mm-hmm. And that is not acceptable. You don't cap you know, half of 560 square miles of Hanford. You don't even cap a fourth of that and say, we're done, no problem, because you've got so much contamination in the soil. And according to previous documents, I'm thinking about 10 years ago, there was a draft document that we got a hold of that indicated that if no cleanup were to happen at Hanford, you could have a 100% chance of getting cancer along the river in years to come, because the contaminants just go down.
Is there work done on, is that included at all in how the effects flow down the river, so to speak, or in this particular investigation? Is it just confined? You said it didn't even go down to the river. Does it extend anywhere beyond that part of the river that's around Hanford, or does this information end there? Do they do any attempt to?
You know, as far as I know, in the past, the information has ended there, and we have to have the data at least take us down to the river and into the river. Okay, we have, and that's not just in one little point on the river. You've got 240 miles, I think, of river surrounding Hanford, of the Columbia River. So, you know, that's a huge amount. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know we have a lot to cover, so let's kind of move on to another aspect of that. And I don't know if you've said everything you wanted to about groundwater cleanup.
I just think that we have been asking, the public has been asking for a comprehensive groundwater analysis for years. And that is a necessity. You have got to have a comprehensive analysis. The theory is right now is that, you know, we're going to be bringing in, the DOE wants to bring in tons of waste from other sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, you've got to analyze what do we have on our site and what are the impacts going to be in the future. And then you have to analyze what is the stuff that you're thinking of bringing from other sites, and then add the impacts of that. So you have to know those impacts to the impacts already at the site. Add them all together, and what have you got? And that hasn't been done. And then the other thing that's missing is, you know, I think in the last document, Nevada and Hanford were the two sites considered as sort of the nuclear dump of the West, the two nuclear dumps of the West. And they haven't looked at other sites. You know, what would it be like to leave some of the waste at other sites and keep it there in a safe form so you're not transporting stuff back and forth? You know, I tend to believe that there is some waste that needs to be and could mostly safely be transported to certain places. Like, I think, you know, I've been to the Waste Isolation Pilot Project, which is referred to as WIP, in New Mexico. I went last summer and took a look at it. It was way down underground looking at, these incredible salt mines, salt, you know, the salt formations. And I think that there, you know, I think that repository can hold some things safely. And I think I'm sort of sticking my neck out by saying that. I think some people would very heartily disagree with me, including some of the people at WIP. And you've got mixed reviews there, too. You've got a lot of people who say, we'll take more waste of the nation. I think you have to be careful, though. I would not want to see them taking any liquid wastes because the walls are eventually going to crush together and then you've got liquid going into wherever. And we don't have enough knowledge about, I don't think, any geological formation to know what it's going to do to us in 1,000 years. And I think we have to think that way. I think we have to think 1,000 years, 10,000 years. One of the other things, you know, that I think that we have to cover in this is what are some of the alternatives that we can look at for just taking care of the low-level waste that is at Hanford. I mean, we've had big debates, and Heart of America has been just really on this particular one.
And Heart of America is
the Hanford group up in the Seattle area, but they've got a lot of membership in the Portland area too. But they've been really good about talking about, and I just lost my flow here.
I think you were talking about the alternatives.
Oh,
and I wanted to get into that, the alternatives that will be presented there, and I'm not sure if that's what Heart of America has been working on, but I would kind of like to know what to expect for people who are going, if they're going to be presented with alternatives from
Actually, Columbia Riverkeepers will be there, and they're going to be looking. Columbia Riverkeepers has been a real big protector of groundwater and a real proponent of, the comprehensive cleanup of or inventory of contaminants from groundwater, vadosone, et cetera. And then Heart of America has really looked at the transportation issues. They've looked at, they've looked at the cost things. We've never had a document, for example, that includes the cost. We need to have that in there. And I'm starting to bounce all over. But you're going to have at least three of our organizations plus the state of Oregon there telling what the priorities are and saying these are some of the analyses that we need done. These are some of the flaws. So you're going to hear from a lot of these groups to sort of give you an idea of the things you would say in terms of, I want this in this document, I want this document to cover this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a very informative evening. This is not an evening where you testify about, all the damage that has been done that can be talked about, but it has to be put into a form if it's going to be useful on our part to say, this is what we want in this document that you're going to be putting together. And I don't think people always understand, all these different delineations of the environmental process.
Okay.
So I'm grateful for this opportunity to sort of help educate anybody who might be coming to the meeting.
I want to let people know again, I'm speaking with Paige Knight of Hanford Watch, and we're talking about a meeting that's happening tomorrow evening. And Hanford Watch is inviting you to go. It's Scoping for Hanford's Biggest Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, as they're known. Tomorrow, Wednesday the 22nd, the workshop at 6 p.m., is that Hanford Watch's workshop?
No, actually, Heart of America puts that on, but we all participate in it.
And that's the time when people can kind of find out about what's happening at
right.
the meeting.
And then actually the Department of Energy will be there at 6 o'clock too, and there will probably be some displays of some of the alternatives they have in mind. And one of the things that has been something for me to grapple with in all the meetings I've been to is that they have, I've seen some of their presentations of, here's this alternative, here's this alternative. There's six or seven alternatives. And they are sort of these package deals where we'll do this, 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 and this by this time frame, and this is the option. And then you'll have another package deal with some things slightly changed and another package deal that's maybe really different. And my thing is always, why can't we mix and match these? Mm-hmm. And then the thing that's been missing in the pre-documents that we've seen so far is none of the alternatives so far that they've come up with, as a precursor to this meeting tomorrow night, none of these documents have presented a scenario that meets the legal requirements of the tri-party agreement. And one of the things that so many of us hold inviolable is you've got to meet the legal requirements of cleanup under the tri-party agreement. That's the only thing we've got to hold the government's feet to.
So. And none of the suggested plans does that?
No. Some of them meet the dates of the agreement, but they don't meet the cleanup standard. Some of them start to get closer to meeting the standards, but they're way off from meeting the dates. And right now, this is something that people need to think about. We're way behind schedule on building the vitrification facility, the plant that's going to put the toxic waste underground and the 177 tanks into a glass form. Right now, it was supposed to be starting up in 2011, and the dates are looking more like 2017, although the tri-party agreement hasn't been changed. We've had that whole project slowed down partly due to poor management, partly due to earthquake standards changing slightly, or how you look at earthquake standards being changed. Actually, one of the things we learned recently at the tank forum that we had here in Portland is that the costs have risen immensely, and some of those are procurement costs for some of the things that are needed, a lot of the steel, et cetera, that's needed to build this plant. I mean, it is a huge, monstrous facility. I've been out there a few times and seen its progress as we've gone. But a lot of the things that are needed for this plant can't be purchased here in the United States because nobody's making them. That is really interesting to me, that we can't get what we need here in the States. We have to send out of the country for it. That says something about, you know, the whole state of work in America to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these things that have held up the tank program, and the Department of Energy still wants to get things going and try to meet the timeline, so they've come up with these different alternatives for treating some of the low-level waste, and one of them is, referred to as supplemental technologies, but one is called bulk vitrification. And basically they're experimenting right now and trying to see if it works of taking a great big railroad-sized container, filling it full of waste and glass frit, sticking, you know, tubes in it to in a sense, electrify it, to heat it up and solidify it. And then you take this container and the waste in it and you bury it. And we're beginning to think on the advisory board, especially on the tank committee that I sit on, that it's starting to get so expensive is that we have to ask the question, is it getting to the point where just looking at this technology is superseding the price that you said it was going to cost, and is that going to impact getting the vitrification facility up and running? You know, so you've got some trade-offs there that we want people to look at, and that's going to come up, I'm sure, at this meeting tomorrow, something we want looked at. Mm-hmm. Really honestly in this document.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really feel like this hearing, this scoping hearing, is a chance to really start fresh. And that requires a little bit of trust on my part of the Department of Energy. And I'm having to believe that they really want to do the right thing. And I think that we have to give it our best shot and say we want this, 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 and this. And then when the draft document comes out, then we look at it and say, you know, whatever, and have our round of hearings then, and hold their feet to the fire. We've got very few chances left, I think, to make this work. Very few.
What would happen, you think, if nobody attended these kind of meetings and there was no public input from people who were concerned about the kind of things that you're concerned about?
Well, what, you know, from my perspective, as, you know, being the head of an organization that represents, you know, a number of people in the state, and as an activist who's going up to Hanford a lot and sitting on committees and sitting on boards to, along with many other activists and concerned citizens, if we don't have the backing of the public for what we say, we're not taken seriously. And I think that it's a real tribute to all of our groups that we had, you know, over 1,000 people turn out to the hearings 3 years ago on the solid waste environmental impact statement that's being replaced with this document. So I think that if fewer and fewer people turn out to these meetings, then we lose, in a sense, our credibility, our clout, and the DOE can write us off and say, and the other agencies as well can write us off and say, you know, citizens don't really care. And actually, one of the debates that's going on right now with even the budget hearings, the Department of Energy wanted to hold budget hearings at the same time. And those of us in the Portland area said, there's no way you're going to tack on budget hearings to this important scoping meeting. You're not, you know, that'll just confuse the public, and you don't have enough, the information isn't going to match real well. And one of the thoughts, you know, one of the concerns is, are the agencies trying to fragment us so that we don't really have as much say? And I know that there's always been this huge complaint. We see the same people all the time. And the fact is, I tell the agencies, these people have gotten an education by coming all the time, and they truly care. And they are supported by their friends who don't come. So they are worthy to listen to. And you, you know, sure, you can stop people on the street and say, oh, you know, what do you think about Hanford? And most people will say, oh, isn't that closed down now? you know, that's about the level of knowledge out there, generally speaking. And they say, and some of the agency people say, oh, we learn a lot more from people like that. And I'm sorry, I beg to differ. Mm-hmm. So I just think that the public participation in these is so, so important.
And we just have a couple minutes left, Paige. So tell people what they need to do if they want to participate in this.
One of the meeting in Portland there tomorrow night is going to be at the Red Line Convention Center. And I want to remind people that that's not the Red Line Hotel by the Lloyd Center. That's where we've had a lot of meetings. Please don't confuse us. It's on 1021 Northeast Grand, and it's in the Convention Center, and I'm sure there'll be signs there telling you where to go. And that meeting is from 7 to 10, and there's a workshop at 6 a.m. And you can also
6
p.m. And thank gosh. And you can also talk to some of the DOE people at 6 o'clock, too, in the main room where they're going to have displays set up with some of the alternatives. So that's one thing. And then I will be putting up on our website for Hanford Watch where you can write comments if you have comments to write. I haven't done that yet, but I'll get that out for people who can't come to the meeting.
Okay, and that website again?
Is www.hanfordwatch.org.
Great. And there is a meeting in Hood River for anybody who might be listening right now.
Yes.
The Gorge.
And it's March 23rd, that's Thursday, at the Columbia Gorge Hotel, 4000 West Cliff Drive in the Benson Room.
Okay.
And the same times workshop, the whole bit.
So contacting Hanford Watch again, you could do it by phone?
Yes, 503-232-0848 or www.hanfordwatch.org.
Okay, and we'll put this information with all the meeting information and the phone numbers at the front desk after the interview. Anything you want to say in the last minute?
Yeah, I would like to thank all of the KBOO listeners, and there certainly have been a ton over the years I've been involved with this, for, you know, coming out to these hearings. We have had such a good showing in Portland, and we have had such caring people, and I think we learned so much from the dialogue that happens at these meetings. So I would really like to thank the listeners for past support and encourage you, don't get discouraged, keep on going.
Okay, Paige, thank you very much for your work and keeping this, you know, in our minds and helping us know more about it. Thank you very much, Paige Knight of Hanford Watch. Again, for more information, you can call 503-232-0848 or www.hanfordwatch.org, the meeting tomorrow night in Portland. And thanks a lot. We're going to go back to Janet.
Okay, thank you so much, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.